How many Christians are listed worldwide? Who wants to take a guess? $5 million? $10 million? $100 million?
$2 billion.
$2 billion. It's a good number. Depending on where you go, some say 2.6 billion, some say 2.4. How many churches are listed in America? There's 380,000 churches. Can y'all hear me? This mic is unusual. There's over 200 denominations, and there's 45,000 denominations globally. It's a lot. So with so many options out there, how did we end up in this church? Well, Oxford Dictionary defines church as a building used for public Christian worship. Although that's not how the Bible defines it. We know a church is not a building. It's a body of people. For example, we currently meet at Unity Atlanta, but we don't share a lot of values with Unity Atlanta or doctrines, but it's a great building to meet in. Even Bronson got out of the car today and got out and looked at this hotel and he said, this is not a church. You know, even a three-year-old. So Americans have been conditioned to think that a church is a building, but it is not according to the biblical definition. God the Father, through Christ, did not call a bunch of buildings to be part of his spiritual family. He called people. A people who exist with or without a building. So in the Old Testament, we see an archetype of this church in the people of Israel, God's chosen people. For years, they were a nomadic people living in tents, but they were a type of church, even if they were lacking the Holy Spirit. So it's part of a congregational series on the fundamental beliefs. Today's topic is the church. It'll be a review for most of you. I have 3 points. What is the church? The purpose of the church? And our responsibility in the church. So number one, what is the church? And this may seem like a simple question, and it may be to us, but it's been a heated debate for decades. Many, or I'd say most, almost everyone outside the church doesn't agree on what the definition is. And even some in our church don't. So let's go to the definition of church, or the translation out of the Bible, as spelled out in our fundamental beliefs. The word church, English word, is used to translate the word ecclesia, as most of you know. At the time of the writing of the New Testament, ecclesia was a common word for civic gatherings formed from the noun form of the verb kaleo, meaning to call, and the prefix ek, meaning out of. From kaleo also comes klesis, calling, means calling, and kletos, which means called. The compound ekklesia, or ekklesia, means a body of people called out to assemble together, just as ancient Israel was called out of Egypt to assemble before God as the church, or the ekklesia, in the wilderness, as referenced in Acts 7, verse 38, or the congregation in the wilderness, New King James. The word ekklesia was used in the Greek Septuagint translation of the Old Testament for many instances of the Hebrew kahal, usually rendered assembly or congregation in English Bibles. So in the first New Testament occurrence of ekklesia, Jesus during his ministry promised, I say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's in Matthew 16, verse 18. Or I will build my assembly, Young's literal translation. He was referring to establishing a summoned gathering of people sharing a common identity. And therein lies the controversy of the definition ekklesia pretty much all across the nation. The problem that they run into is the aspect of calling here is vital, right? God sanctifies or set apart his people from others. And this makes the Church of God a unique assembly of people. And I know it may sound elitist to some, but it's not. No one can come to Christ unless the Father draws him, as we read in John chapter 6, verse 44. Therefore, nobody can become part of the ecclesia, or the called out ones, the assembly, the church, unless the Father calls or draws him. We don't call people. The Father calls. I've certainly tried to call people into the church. In high school and in college, I grew up in the Bible Belt, so I told everybody, you know, if they had questions. And once in a while, you get somebody that's really curious, and you think, man, I'm really doing something here. And I have to say, my batting average is zero. I've never successfully called anyone into the church. For the record, last Friday, a week ago, Rick Shaby released a video about the church, the true church. If you get a chance, has anyone heard that by Rick Shaby? He released it last Friday. He had the same intro as me, and I promise I didn't copy him because I wrote this and gave it in Atlanta 6 months ago, and I'm sure he didn't copy me either. It's just that the logic of looking at how many Christians are worldwide, 2.6 billion, that's a logical path to go down when you're talking about the ecclesia. So, Christ referred to the church in the New Testament as a little flock, right? Little flock. He didn't say big flock, he said little flock. So, I would make the argument, as Rick Shaby was last week, 2.6 billion people is not a little flock. 2.6 billion mainstream Christians are not part of the ecclesia. The called out ones. They're not following the way, including the Sabbath and the holy days and water baptism plus laying on of hands, receiving the Holy Spirit, and other doctrines that the first century church taught and kept. So, Jesus Christ is referred to as the living head of the church, which is described in the Bible as the body of Christ. So, according to God's definition of church, there's only one church, his called out body. There's one, to be clear, that's one spiritual organism. There are many congregations around the world. There are multiple groups, and God can work with different groups and different individuals. No one here, as a disclaimer, is claiming that UCG is the only organized group, but we are part of the true church. We are part of the one spiritual organism. Also, the New Testament church is the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, as we read in Hebrews 12:23. And our names remain registered in heaven and written in the book of life, unless we turn back and we don't stay the course and finish our race. So ancient Israel was initially, as mentioned, God's ecclesia, or called out assembly or church in the wilderness, referenced in Acts 7:38, as I mentioned before. The physical nation of Israel is to be a special treasure to God, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And the church today, to him, is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, as referenced in 1 Peter 2:9. And I have to admit that these are not titles that I would pick for myself, or Scott, or even Mr. Gravy. It's supposed to be a joke. But these feel like lofty titles, but these are the titles that are given. So, can y'all hear me back there? Scott just doesn't think I'm funny. But he also referred to the church as the Israel of God in Galatians 6:16, meaning the church is now in God's eyes spiritual Israel. And I was reading through Acts and Corinthians this week, and Paul talked a lot about how we are spiritual Jews. So to recap point one, the true church is not a building, it's not a physical location, but an assembly of people worshiping together, called by God the Father. My second point is, what is the purpose of the church? Well, you could do a series of messages on this question. It's hard to isolate in 2 minutes. But to sum it up, it's preaching, teaching, and discipleship. UCG's logo, as we're familiar, says preaching the gospel and preparing a people. It's simple, but it captures our mission. I think most of us are familiar with that. But you might not have read the vision statement recently. Does anyone know the vision statement off the top of their heads? Yes. Okay. So this is something, maybe I'm sharing something new with you. Our vision statement says, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. UCG was like ahead of the curve when they said that was gender neutral. It didn't say many sons to glory, many children. Why did the Father call a people to create a body, a church, rather than just leaving us all alone to be little islands of autonomy unto ourselves? Well, because we need each other. People need people, even introverts. Staying home, reading, praying in solitude on the Sabbath, which became pretty popular during COVID, it may appear to recharge your batteries more than church services. And it might for one or two Sabbaths for some people. But long term, staying at home, it comes at a cost, both a collective cost, both for the individual and for other people that they could positively impact at church, the body. Coming to church and the fellowship really, it offers a lot of support and encouragement for everyone involved. I could talk about that. Scott's had some issues, your whole family, the Aust senior, Mr. and Mrs. Aust, not Dr. Aust. My mom with her 13 surgeries, you know, cancer twice, my father, the list goes on and on. And we've come here as a collective group and drawn a lot of support there. And I'm deeply grateful for that. And I don't get that same level of support with my old kayaking buddies or my motorcycle buddies or my gym buddies. It's not the same as coming here to church and feeling that love and support from the brethren. So that is one of the purposes of the church. We have the Holy Spirit as a comforter, but we got each other as well. You can come up with endless benefits, but the overarching purpose is to create God's family. Firstborn sons and daughters, firstfruits, that will be able to assist in God's government in a millennial reign. And we're to learn to model that behavior right now. So the third point is, what's our responsibility as members of the body of Christ? Well, besides the obvious, which is to obey God, follow His laws, and develop a personal relationship with Him, there's more in terms of serving others. As an organized body and spiritual nation, the members of the church have different roles and responsibilities. We know that we're all given different gifts, but the common thread is that all of our responsibilities through your various gifts and talents should be to give to others. Our secular world and society is all about self. What I can get, how do I feel, what is my self-worth? And social media has accelerated this trend, this way of get. I won't go into all the apps that are available, but there's more apps out there than probably most of you are even aware of in terms of way above and beyond Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. There's other ones out there that are, morally in the gutter, and they're growing rapidly. So society is really about get. But being in God's church, living His ways, is about giving, contributing to the body and to others, building God's family. We're called to be contributing members to the church. We're called to grow, not just individuals, but as the bride of Christ and the God family. God has called us into the greatest family of all time, a church that is His very own special people, and we should be growing spiritually closer to God and to one another. I'll turn to one scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. This lectern is so small. Awkward. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Reads, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And we often talk about Christ being the chief cornerstone, but we are also stones. We're part of that spiritual house. And if we do this, if we're a warm and loving congregation, then whomever the Father sends our way, hopefully we'll have a positive experience when they walk in the door and they're greeted with smiles or a friendly handshake, a conversation. And hopefully they'll lean into continuing in fellowship instead of coming and staying for a week or two and never seeing them again. Because we've seen that a lot in the last decade. In conclusion, we answered three questions. What's the church? What's the purpose of the church? And what is our responsibility in it? So let's answer the first question posed at the beginning. How many, I'll see who's listening. How many churches are there in the United States? 380,000? No. According to God's biblical definition, there's one church. Okay? One body, one general assembly, one called out group of the world. There may be multiple organizations that God's working with or groups of people around the world, but there's one spiritual organism. It's simply not 2.6 billion people yet. It will be someday. It may be 100 billion. There's estimates that it could be as high as 100 billion in the future. Thankfully, God did not leave us alone. He gave us a helper, a Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and strengthen us. He gave us a church and brethren to serve us as a spiritual support system to enable us to obtain God's desire for us, to be partakers with Christ and with each other as a family, as a body, and as a church today and on into the coming kingdom of God.